This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated. It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
I guess I lost another one to the winter time.
I miss y'all.
Give me a second to gather my thoughts.
Strolling in the park.
Oh!
And watching winter.
Such a beautiful day, man. Yeah, man. Oh! You know we had to switch it on the right.
Strolling in the park.
I'm still standing on 2 feet.
And watching winter.
Even after this tragic loss, man. And I got something else to tell you, man.
I remember them encore PMs, breakfast, whatever. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy Jedi Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I must start by thanking you first and foremost. First, let me wish you a happy new year. Hope you had a great holiday season. But yeah, let me thank you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me and listen to these random ramblings. You know, you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. This has been a historic year for the What Is TWS podcast, whatever that means. I don't know. I had a goal for, you know, like downloads and shit like that. And, you know, we far exceeded that goal. So very much appreciative to everyone who took a second out of their day to come listen to this nonsense. You are the real MVP. I do appreciate you. Anyways, man, I started with that one. Just a random joint. Got nothing to do with nothing other than the fact that I had the privilege to be invited to do the All on the Table podcast with Raw Assassin. My second time being on the show, and it was dope. You know, he always has a group, a panel of people, and we discuss all kinds of things. It always gets out of pocket, and I don't know. I guess I get to be the voice of reason sometimes. That was my role this go round. And then we also, after that show, I talked him into doing a quick hip hop discussion. I think the first time he reached out to me to be on the show, he was like, "Hey man, anybody want to have a conversation about hip hop?" And I was like, "Yeah, bet, I'm in." And so I came on the show and we talked about everything but hip hop. And then he had me back this weekend and we did another show. I mean, these things go on for like, the recording goes on for like hours, and it's dope conversations, really dope conversations. But once again, hip hop never came up. So I mentioned it. And before we all went our separate ways, we sat down and had a quick hip hop conversation. And I know, you know, Drake came up and some other things came up, and just got me in my bag for this. Cause that's like, that joint right there is like my favorite, like beat switch up of all time. I can't talk today. Something about that. I'm like, you know, Drake fan or not Drake fan, like that track, the production, just the switch up of those beats to me was super dope. And so I always go back to that track whenever I'm in like a Drake bag for whatever reason. So here we are. Anyways, yeah. You know, I got to apologize. Like, I missed last week, and it wasn't one of those, you know, I was sick. It wasn't one of those, I couldn't think of a topic or something. I did kind of have something in mind that I wanted to do for the year close out. Fuck it though, it didn't happen. But really what happened was, like, I just really, I guess, got completely confused and lost track of, like, days and what, you know, what time it was or whatever. The holiday fucked me up. And I think it was, like, Monday. It was Monday that I had the day off. And it felt like that was Sunday to me. And I was, the whole day, I'm like, man, I need to go record. You know, I'm trying to work myself up to do it. And then at some point during the day, I realized, oh shit, it's already Monday. I've been missed the thing, and I don't know. I just didn't have the motivation to knock one out and just figured I'd let it ride. I should have said something, I didn't, but you know, I've been kind of low-key through the holiday season. Not necessarily my favorite time of the year. I'm not a big like Christmas person or anything like that. Like, like I'm grown and like the mystique of Christmas has really, you know, worn off a long time ago. You know, the only fun part about Christmas as an adult to me is, you know, getting your kids presents and stuff like that, or getting to watch, you know, their reaction to Christmas, getting to celebrate that with them. And, you know, and being a, like the part-time dad, I knew this wasn't going to be my Christmas with her. It just, I don't know, it just doesn't mean much to me. And same goes for New Year's. It's just another day. You know, I'm sober now, so yeah, I'm not looking forward to New Year's parties and shit like that. Like, I just chilling. So, you know, I don't know, the holiday season, I don't know if it's like seasonal depression. I battle with depression all the time. And I guess, you know, the holidays just brings to the forefront many of the things that are triggers for me for that. And so I tend to get real low-key around that time. So I apologize, but it really was more of just I forgot that I was supposed to be doing an episode on a certain day. And by the time I remembered, that time it passed, and I just was like, fuck it, we'll let it go. But anyway, to catch you up, fuck it, let's jump into the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe!
Yes, sir, I am. She's a wonderful little girl. She got her issues, but I love her to death. So yeah, I did go to, you know, the ex-wife's house and everything for like Christmas Day. And I got there mad early so I could, you know, give her gifts and, you know, like kind of be a part of all of that. But here's the crazy thing that happened. Is like I was there at the house like a few weeks before Christmas to kind of help, you know, take care of my daughter while she got sick. So that, you know, my ex-wife with her, you know, her newborn wouldn't really have to be exposed to all of that. So I was at the house. And at one point while I was there, me and her mom are having a conversation, just random, you know, bullshit. And she's doing some shopping on her phone. And I guess she had family coming in, you know, and they were all going to be there. And I think she had a plan that they were going to wake up Christmas morning and everybody would be wearing matching pajamas. That's cool. Like, that's, you know, that's what you want to do. I'm not a matching pajama kind of person. I'm not a matching like anything kind of person. Like I don't know, like, yeah, you can give me that the common line.
You know, I ain't the type to walk around with matching shirts. A relationship is effort. I will match your work.
That's more me. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have, if we close and everything, like, I put the work into our friendship and I'll show you appreciation and be that kind of, but matching stuff is not me. But you know, she's sitting there, she's doing the shopping on the phone, and she's like, hey, you know, you want me to get you a pair? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm straight. You know, thanks, but no thanks. I'm all right. And she's like, they're going to be really comfy. I'm like, yeah, I got pajamas. They comfy enough. I'm not a comfy kind of guy, so yeah, I'm good. You know, and this went back a couple of rounds, a couple of, you know, volleys back and forth, and eventually she's like, I'm buying them anyway. So I get there on Christmas Day, you know, with Elise's gifts. And I made, because I'm a baker now, apparently. It's what I do. I'm an emotional baker. I tend to bake when, like, I ain't got shit else to do, or, like, you know, I'm having anxiety or something like that. Like, some reason, like, cookies and shit like that make me feel better. So I bake when I'm going through that kind of stuff. It's the holiday season, so here we were. So, yeah, I made these. First time I ever made them, like, chocolate snowballs. Like, they're just these little, almost shortbread-like cookies. I know y'all don't care, but they had chocolate chips in them and powdered sugar. It looked like snowballs. I was proud of them. So I brought all that stuff over. And when I get there, my daughter answers the door, and she's got the PJs on. And I see, you know, her great aunt who came to town. And she's got the PJs on, and then, you know, one of her cousins that, you know, I'm working with right now on, like, putting a show together for him and I to do, you know, he had the PJs on, and, you know, my mom had the PJs on. Oh, shit. Like, I thought I avoided this by, like, not being here in the morning. I'm just coming for dinner and, like, gifts and shit like that. And then, of course, you know, I get presented with my pair of PJs, and then the peer pressure starts. Like, you gotta put the PJs on, you know. The cousin, it's probably the most pressure coming from him, because it was like everybody else I had no problem saying no to. You know, him, he's like, man, I did it. Like, yo, they got me out here looking like this. You can't leave me out here by myself. And that was the only thing that was like pulling. And I guess the fact that my daughter wanted me to do it too, like she wanted me to get in on all the pajama fun, whatever the fuck that is. I ain't gonna lie, I only put on the pajama shirt. I wasn't putting on the pants. I wasn't, like, this was not, it's not that kind of event for me. I wasn't supposed to be, like, in my pajamas at my ex-wife's house. Like, that's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's inappropriate, if you want, if you ask me. Like, that's not, it's not my thing. But they got me to wear these fucking matching pajamas. They took pictures and everything. It's funny because she took pictures. She got my daughter to, like, you know, grab me and, you know, and hug me and stuff and like, put stuff on my face. And, like, she was secretly, like, snapping pictures from across the table. So she got those and she sent me all of those. And it was cool. I posted some of them on social media. Like, you know, it was cool, like, daddy-daughter pictures. And, yeah, he was wearing matching pajamas. But then the whole family got up and they took a picture in the pajamas. And, you know, I'm a part of the family. So I got up and I participated in the pictures. But when she sent me pictures from Christmas Day, she sent me just the ones of my daughter and I. She sent my mom the ones of my daughter and I and the family picture. It's as if she understood. like that she got it. He don't want that. Like, he don't even want that picture, so I don't need to send it to him. I'm going to send it to his mom, you know, because she'll appreciate it. But I know he's good on that. I was good on the pajamas, too, though. You could have skipped me on that one, but it's all love. It happened. It is what it is. I got my lick back, though, because I'm, as y'all know, I'm a very petty person. I'm a very, very petty person. I hold on to things for way longer than you would ever expect. You think it's over, it ain't over. It ain't over. I'm one of those, it ain't over until I win or until I get tired of fucking with you about it. And so, yeah, I take every opportunity to sneak in a jab and say, I told y'all on the TWS merch store, whatistws.com/store, you can get yourself a t-shirt or a hoodie that says, don't thank me, thank God. Now, that was a saying that my Uncle Clinton used to say all the time growing up. I miss my Uncle Clinton. To me, he was like the black Uncle Buck. Like, he would show up, you know, to your school smoking a cigar. Somebody would have to tell him he can't walk through the hallways with the cigar. Like, he would never turn his car off when we went places. He would just leave the car running with the keys in it when we went to the grocery store or whatever. And somehow always had a car. I don't know how that worked out. Andy, he had all of these sayings. And, you know, if you ever said thank you to my uncle, his response was always, don't thank me, thank God. So it don't come from, like, a religious place. Like, if you see the shirt and you feel like it matches your religious perspective or something like that, then great. It's not anti that. That's just not the origin of it. So anyway, like, months back, I wore one of these shirts to one of my daughter's soccer games. And when I show up at the soccer game, you know, my ex-wife and her husband are there, and her husband sees the shirt, and they very much in the church. And he sees the shirt, and he's like, man, I like that. And I was like, word, you know, I can get you one. I know, you know, I can get you one. I think my ex-wife explained to him that I make them, and, you know, I sell them on my store. I'm like, man, I got you. And it took quite a while. Like, it was on the docket of things I needed to do, what I said I was going to do for a while. And then Christmas was coming, and I actually, it's all her fault, because I bought them right after she said she was buying me the matching PJs anyway. So as soon as she said she was buying me the matching PJs, even though I objected and I told her I was cool, that's okay. She was buying them anyway. So I said, no, today is the perfect day to finally, you know, come through on one of my promises. So I went in the store and I bought matching hoodies for both of them, for her and her husband. They said, don't thank me, thank God. I got a hoodie for my daughter. Don't thank me, thank God. And I got a bib for her newborn baby with embroidered on it. Don't thank me, thank God. And so luckily, this stuff arrived in time for Christmas. And, you know, I presented it as a, because it was still in the package, like in the UPS box. And I presented it to Elise, like, here are some things you can give to your family as a gift from you. So now it's impossible for anybody to, like, not love it. Like, you got to. It's coming from a 7-year-old. Like, how the fuck are you going to turn your nose up at it? So she opens the box, and there's all the stuff, and she's handing it out. And And everybody seems very appreciative and happy for it. Oh, man, I like this. This is a good quality. Blah, blah, blah. Side note on the good quality thing. For my bigger folks, especially my bigger dudes, it's usually the dudes that are saying something to me about it. Trust and believe I'm working on, like, larger sizes than 2X. I am. The issue I'm having is that the vendors that I look for hoodies and stuff like that, like, I want a certain quality hoodie. And the people who make the hoodie in the quality that I like do not offer the 3X or larger. The places that offer the 3X or larger, I don't really like the quality of the hoodie. So I could put a 3X out there for you, but it'd be some bullshit. And I'd rather not have a product to offer you than to ever have my brand associated with some bullshit. So I'm working on it. I swear to God, I'm working on it. I just don't want to give you some crap. And right now, I don't have a vendor that provides me with a hoodie of that size and the quality that I would prefer. I just want to put that out there for everybody. I apologize. I'm working on it. But know that it's for a good reason that it don't exist right now. But anyway, everybody gets this stuff. And about halfway through, like, dinner and everything, you know, her husband was still, you know, commenting on the hoodie. And she kind of says to me, you know, I secretly hate this. I was like, yes, I do. You know, that's exactly why I did it, don't you? You know that was the motivation behind it. I'm not this generous, but thank you. So it was a good Christmas. We had a good time. We played Uno. Christmas dinner was good. Shout out to my ex-wife and her husband and her aunt. They all participated in the cooking. It was an overall good time. But that was my petty Christmas. That's how petty I am. So don't ever think it's over, because it's never over. That happened, and I had my week of work after that. Without my daughter, and just, I don't know, kind of just cruising through the week, sleepwalking. I love this time of year. I don't even know why people take off during this time of year, because for me, it's free money. Like, you know, offices are damn near empty. People ain't really doing anything. Everybody. There is an expectation that if you're looking for something to get done, it ain't going to get done until after the new year. And so, like, you say, yeah, especially now that I work from home, it's like, yeah, I work from home. And I worked. I had things I had to do, and I got them done. But for the most part, it was free money. So I just chill. And then, this weekend was coming up. I knew I was going to have my daughter and trying to figure out things to do. And so my homie Chad, my white homie, and every time we get together, like, something hilarious happens. I told him this weekend, like, you know, I hang out with you just to wait for something, you know, stupid and racial to happen. Like, it's not really because I like hanging out with you. It's just I know if I hang out with you, I'm going to have something to talk about when it's time to record a podcast that week. I do love that's my brother. I love him to death, and I do enjoy hanging out with him. But he likes to do expensive shit. Well, not necessarily expensive shit, but he likes to eat. And then we take turns paying bills, or we bet on, like, meals and shit like that. And, you know, shit gets pricey. So, you know, I'm on a budget. I keep saying that to him, and I don't think it's coming through yet, that I'm on a budget, because nobody believes it. Like, I could be on a budget. They just think, you know, I don't know. I think I do too good of a job making it appear as if things are going well for me. I need to, like, slow that all the way the fuck down and just make it look like what it is, that this is it. And I ain't got it. So don't think I got it, because I don't. Please believe me. But he hit me up, and he said he bought his kids kites for Christmas, and he wanted to go kite flying. And so his first question to me, because we do this all the time, was, you know, do black people fly kites? And I thought about how to respond to it. And then, you know, I just figured out, you know, again, just like, let's expose the truth. And my response to him simply was, kite flying requires space. I'm going to leave it at that. And I think he understood. He gave me he typed back, beep, beep, beep. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And then when I hit him with the question marks and shit, he was like, that's a white person slowly backing out of a racial conversation. And I'm like, well, you asked me. You asked me if black people fly kites. I just gave you the real. And that's another one of the things that, like, I want to do this show for and I try to talk about on the show, like, just understand in every aspect you could think of, understand that you don't understand what it's like to be anybody else. You don't. And it's cool to have the conversations and to be curious so that you can find out or get better information. But in those conversations, like, just be careful not to try to, like, overlay your life experience or your belief system on somebody else's actions, and be prepared to hear some shit that you're not ready for. Like, I love it when white people ask me how I got a name like Flanagan. I'm just like, hey, pick up a history book. Like, you know, like, do you really not understand how that shit took, you know, went down? I got to live with that name. And my middle name is white. So it is what it is. But it wasn't like my favorite moments. But we went flight kind. We went kite flying with the kids. It was my first time flying a kite. Like, I'm sure there are black people who do fly kites. I'm 100% sure. Not an experience I had had the pleasure of having up until that day. And I probably won't do it again. But we did. We went out. We flew the kites. Elise had a good time for like 2 minutes. They was interested in flying the kites for like 2.5 minutes. And then they went on to like picking up acorns and throwing rocks and shit. Like, buying gifts and toys for children under a certain age is just, it's just fucking useless. Because they will play with the box. I got a ripped up cardboard box downstairs in my living room right now. Because, you know, my daughter, I bought her a game. We played the board game like 2 times. And then after that, she ripped up the box, started drawing on the inside of it, and built her a house under my table. So now I got a ripped up cardboard box under my table. And that she got much more enjoyment out of the ripped up cardboard box than it seems like she did out of the little board game that we played. So I don't know. I don't know at what age I can stop just like giving her boxes, because that might be next year. Next year might just be empty fucking boxes and crayons. Go at it. And I don't know how long that's going to last, but it's weird to me. But then again, like I say, every time I go someplace with them, something hilarious happens. So after we go flying kites, you know, he was cashing in a lunch that I owed him. So we went to, you know, a barbecue spot nearby and lunch on me. All you can eat, everybody. It wasn't that bad, though. It wasn't that bad. But, you know, he had, you know, 2 little boys with him. They're like 4 years old. You know, we told the waiter they was 3, so they ate for free. So they cut down on the bill a little bit. But, you know, we have lunch. It was good. Good time was had by all. And then we leave, and there's like a playground outside, the back of the restaurant. So we go out there to play at the playground. And I get out there, and as I'm walking out, one of the little boys decides he needs to go to the bathroom. So he and his mom are walking back into the restaurant to go into the bathroom. And as he walks past me to go to the bathroom, he slaps me on my ass. I've been around this little kid several times. I've gone camping with this little kid. This is a new thing. He's never fucking done this before. And it caught me completely off guard. He slapped me on my ass. And his mom turns around and she's like, did he spank you? And I'm like, I don't want to say he spanked me. I'd rather say he slapped me on my ass than say that he spanked me. Like, can we just be specific with the vernacular here? I don't want to do that. But, you know, he caught me on the cheek one time and walked by. She's like, I'm sorry. You know, it's a new thing. He's doing it. And so they go to the bathroom. I go out there. I'm sitting watching my daughter talking to Chad. So they come back out of the restaurant. And his mom's face is just like, she's mortified. And so basically, it's not just me. He's slapping everybody on the ass. And so on the way into the restaurant, he slapped a couple different people on the ass. One being a little black girl. And she went and told her mom. And I can only imagine, like, this little girl runs to tell her mom that this boy just, you know, smacked her on the butt. And the mom's like, what boy? Who, what? You know, and like, where is he? You know, and she turns around and she points and she sees, you know, this little kid and his mom. Like, I can imagine the theme music must have hit her immediately. Just,
you got me fucked up.
Got me fucked up.
You
got me fucked up.
You got me fucked up.
But it had to be what happened. I mean, we all out. They eventually came out to the playground area too. And so, you know, it was just a whole, like, she was trying to be cool about it. Like, she understands, just little kids. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. But it's just crazy. And then we got into a conversation about slap ass. And then I understand. I'm calling it slap ass because I'm doing the Key and Peele shit.
Come on, good game, slap ass, man.
Yeah, that's so that was what Chad gave me as the rules to slap ass. It's like, as long as it's not harassment, as long as you say get good game before or after. I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize that. Like, I don't know what context it has to be. Like, it has to be some sort of game going on, or you gotta be on some sort of team or some sort of situation like that. He was like at restaurants and stuff he worked with, he had coworkers that used to smack the girls on the ass. They'd be like, dude, you can't do that. And he's like, it's not harassment if you say a good game afterward. It's the logic some of these niggas have. It's better than the logic I used to have, because I did have an incident during my drinking days. I think it was at a New Year's Eve party nonetheless, but I walked around. I got so drunk that I walked around the party smacking all the girls on the ass. And I wasn't saying good game. I was saying tighten up. and that's so much worse. This was at the studio, by the way. I don't think this was the same night as the chicken slap. So this was another night that I was being an ass. So I don't know why these niggas still my friends, but I love them to death. It was a crazy time. But I can't imagine what's going on, because the stakes have risen every time I've hung out with him. It's been something worse and worse. And now, you know, this 4-year-old kid, like, slapping girls on the ass at the restaurant. And now you got to have conversations with their parents. Like, It's amazing. It's a blessing to have a friend like that to bring such joy to my life with these hilariously sad moments. And just it's amazing. I appreciate you, Chad. You're a good dude. But yeah, that was New Year's Eve during the day. And then I took Elise back home, and we got prepared to have our New Year's Eve here in the house. And we not doing that. We weren't going nowhere. We was just going to chill out. But I got some, like, sparkling grape juice. It said rosé on it. Like, I think it said rose. Maybe they didn't put the little accent because it's non-alcoholic. It was like, bro, whatever. It was pink, whatever. I got that, and they had these little, you know, cheap-ass champagne flutes, like $2. It said 2023 on them. And I put it on ice in a little bucket. Like, she loves the fancy stuff. She loves anything fancy. And, you know, it gives her opportunity to feel like a little grown-up. And so, like, she was very excited about, you know, having this toast, you know, when the countdown started. And she was asking me, like, hours before midnight, just like, how much longer? How much longer? Like, dude, just chill out. It's coming. I swear to God, you're not going to miss it. You don't go to sleep before midnight anyway. Like, you know, you got whole songs about how you ain't going to sleep. So just get in one of them moods. Go watch some YouTube clips or something. I will not let you miss it. It's going to happen. But around the time it was time for it to happen, you know, they're getting ready to do the countdown. I cracked the bottle. I pour some for her, some for me. And I'm only telling you this because, like, she had the time of her life. And it was just one of those moments. I don't get a whole lot of them. But, like, to be able to have that with her, like, we poured our little sparkling grape juice. She went in the refrigerator and got some grapes and put grapes in the glasses. Like, grapes floating in. It was just, like, one grape. It did look a little fancy. And then we came out on the roof and were able to see fireworks from the roof. So we're up on the roof. We got our little champagne flutes. We're drinking our sparkling juice with the grapes in it. And she's just like, she was just having the time of life. She's like, this is one of the best experiences of my life, Dad. And she's just clapping when the fireworks come. And she was so happy that she got, like, a glass, like, she was drinking out of a glass, not like a plastic cup or a sippy cup or something like that. Like, she just felt so grown up. And it was just the coolest thing in the world for me to be able to do that with my little girl. So that was a very dope, like, New Year's. Wasn't expecting it. Came out of nowhere. I was just, you know, I thought we were just going to have a little toast, you know, clink our glasses and that'd be it. But it seemed like, you know, it was a way bigger deal for her. And that just made it so much better for me. And so that was New Year's for me. I hope your New Year's was good. But I guess the point of all of this for New Year's for me is, and we had this conversation on the All in the Table podcast. I don't know if we recorded it. This may have been part of the stuff when we was just talking. And let me tell you this. I never feel as un-black as I do talking to other black people in any other situation. I'm like, I just feel like an outlier, like something wrong with me. I'm different. I feel like a black. I know I'm black, but like I just be not as black as everybody. Like something, I don't know. But whatever. We was having a conversation and talking about the whole like new year, new me thing, and you know, just and I think Raw Assassin said something that like really hit home with me. He's like, you know, people been doing the new year, new me, you know, for so many years, you know, trying to change and be a different person every year, and they've never been themselves. Like, when you just going to be you? And it's like, I think that's what the last couple of years have been for me. That the last couple of years, I am getting closer every year to being, you know, completely comfortable with me understanding who I am, for one, being comfortable with who I am, and, you know, and presenting that to the world, like living in that, like not having to go out and be a character. Like, I saw a clip from Jim Carrey, and he was explaining like the difference between sadness and depression. He was like, you know, sadness is like a reaction, like something happens to you, you know, it's grief, or you don't get something that you want, or you lose something, whatever it is, you know, something happens and you feel a way about it. He was like, depression is like just your body saying, I'm tired of being this character. I don't want to be this anymore. I don't want to be whatever this is anymore. Like he even broke it down to like depression should be like deep rest. Like, you know, you're tired and you just need a deep rest from being whoever it is you've been trying to be. And I think I hit that like high water mark in the needing the deep rest, you know, and I made the decisions that I made back then. And luckily I was able to hit a reset. It was like, all right, that character is gone. Character's gone. I'm not around. You know, most of the people who knew me prior to that, I'm in a whole different area. Like, my life is just completely different. And I got to just kill off that character and be me for a while. And this took a couple of years to figure out who that is. You know, if you go back and listen to this show, like, you'll probably see the, you know, me change over the course of these episodes. And I think, you know, this year, it's not so much new year, new me, but like new year, same me. Like this year is consistency, like staying in that, like not allowing anything to drag me out of who I've decided that I am, who I've recognized that I am and accepted who I am. And I'm old. I'm an old man. Like I'm just old man. There's some kids across the hall and like, I guess they play in the hallways or whatever. New Year's Eve, they was just like screaming and stuff. And I was just in my apartment, just like going off silently, like, fuck it, little, somebody control your children. Get your kids out the hallway. The hallway is not a playground. Why are they screaming? You know, I just was losing it. Like, I'm an old man. You know, I believe what I believe. I think what I think. I try to be as open, you know, to new ideas and stuff, but I'm just, oh, it takes a minute. Like, if you want to present me with a new idea, understand that your new idea is going to have to defeat several years, decades of, you know, life experience for me to accept the new thing. Life has taught me something different for quite some time, so now I gotta reprogram my thinking, and that's not an easy thing to do when you got this much programming to go through. So, like, understand that. But I hope for everybody that, you know, in this quest to, you know, improve yourself, that you're not playing a character, that, you know, you get a chance to just be you, be a better you, but be you, you know. And when you are you, you get to offer the world something that they can't get anywhere else, a product that you hold a monopoly on, and it becomes that much more valuable. So that's my message for the new year. That's all I got. I appreciate y'all for rocking with me. Understand that I'm petty. I've accepted it. And that's who I am. And I'm going to stay consistent in that. It's a decision that I've made. Understand that the Don't Thank Me, Thank God shirts and hoodies are for sale on the whatistws.com merch store. whatistws.com/store. Coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, will get you 20% off your entire order for a limited time. So hit them up, get yourself a shirt. If it's the Don't Thank Me, Thank God, if it's the Just Ask, if it's TWS logos, if it's the Signature Collection, whatever it is, I'm doing it. And Sheffy Lease has now gotten big into TWS merch. She wants to design some stuff. So there's going to be a whole Sheffy Lease collection coming soon. Keep your eyes out for it. But with that being said, until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, you are a commodity. And I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. Gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.